This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. This is episode 643, I think. You know, if I cared more, I would actually look these things up. But you know, it's somewhere in that range, 640 some odd. I think it's 643. At least that's what I have written down on my little piece of paper. Anyways, been a good week. Accomplished a lot of good things this week. Yay, good. Still praying for my buddy. Still in the hospital. We had a little shaken this week. His blood pressure went down to 60 over 40. His heart rate went down to 30. If you're listening to this, say a prayer for Chris Hill. He is still in the hospital, still on a ventilator, and whatever they're doing at Mercy to help him doesn't seem to be improving much. And they're just saying, well, it just takes time for the lungs to recover. So, okay, well, maybe. So, there you go. So we're just praying for him. We're, you know, just believing God's going to give grace. Anyways, so writing is going fine. On target with words this week. That's all fine. In book 15 now, I started chapter 22. So there's usually about 32 chapters or so. So I'm on the home stretch. Got another five weeks, I think, in this writing sprint. So I think I'm on target, and I think I know where I'm going, and I think I know what I'm supposed to do for the rest of this book. So I think. The one outstanding thing is a parable. I had a parable for this book. I don't have a parable yet, which I need to figure out the parable pretty quickly here because it needs to get in the book somewhere. So yeah, the parable that I was going to use is actually going to slide into the next book. Which as it turns out, the title that I had for this book is actually going to work better for the next book, I think. Yeah, probably. A lot of this stuff, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just trundling along, waiting for Jesus. I think it's going to be fine. I have to think about that more. We'll see. It'll be fine. Costumings are going fine. I think I'm on target for Blame It on Someone Else Day, which is the next costume I'm making. I think I'm okay. I have some boots I still have to make, and I have to finish the skirt. Never mind. I would have to describe the costume. I can't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast, so I just will stop now. But anyways, so that seems to be going fine. It's always interesting. You move forward, you stumble forward, you figure something out, you stumble forward, you figure something else out, you stumble forward, and somehow it all works out. So I think it's going to all work out at this point. It seems within range. As of tomorrow, I have 3 weeks left. But everything seems to be in range at this point. So yay. So that seems to be good. So all is well there. All is well with writing. All is well with family. My mother-in-law, who is just a delight, is close, I think. She's close to moving back home. She pretty much got clearance from the doctor today to move back home, so she's probably going to be moving back home next week. So we think everything's gotten recovered. We may have another house guest in a couple of weeks, and that is my wife's best friend, maybe having back surgery, and if she has back surgery, she's going to come and convalesce at our house. So that's good, and that's fine. So all is well, all is well. God is kind, and he's just been so good, and he's been helping us. And just keep praying for Chris. We're praying. It's a, you know, I gotta admit freely, it's frustrating when there is options available for treatment that just seem to be ignored, just completely ignored. I had a friend forward me a little video where they were talking to a doctor. This is a, you know, a nationally known person, so that it's not a show that is just kind of off the wall or something. This is a nationally known person who was interviewing a doctor in Texas who had testified in front of the Texas, some medical commission or something, some Texas House Senate or something. And he was saying, again, as others have said, I don't know why we're not treating this disease. There are things that we can do with COVID to treat, just like we treat other viruses. And I don't know why we're not doing them. You know, that we're just acting like there's nothing we can do except talk about vaccines. And in fact, this particular doctor had, he said, I just watched a little bit of it, so I may have something wrong here, but this particular doctor had said that his daughter said, well, you should put up a video on YouTube because this is really helping people. So he said, I had 4 slides. He said, I had my lab coat on, and he said, I talked about how we were trying to help people and what we were doing. And he said, I put up this video. He said, it started getting some views, and YouTube just came and took it down. They said, no, can't talk about that. So there you go. And I know that I have talked about ivermectin a lot, but there are some things, I'm sorry, when I read them, I just stare at the page. So, for instance, I had actually bookmarked this a couple of weeks ago, and I may have mentioned this, but I don't think I did a podcast on it. So this was on Fox News, and it was a reprint coming from the Associated Press. So this is originated with the Associated Press. The title of the article is COVID-19 Vaccine Hesitancy Puts India's Gains Against the Virus at Risk. So, just off the bat there, shouldn't that title of that article cause us to ask some questions? COVID-19 vaccine hesitancy puts India's gains against the virus at risk. Mind you, the subtitle for this article is less than 5% of India's people are fully vaccinated. So from those two lines, we should immediately conclude, if we're paying attention, that vaccines are not a critical factor in the presence of COVID-19 in India. And yet, the title of the article is COVID-19 vaccine hesitancy puts India's gains against the virus at risk. So, something in India has helped reduce the level of infection. We aren't into the point where we see how much yet. This article was in, I think, June 21st. And we already know, based on the 5% rate, that only 5% of the people are vaccinated. So India has made progress against COVID without vaccines. Does that not cause a question to raise in our minds? And if it doesn't cause a question to raise in our minds, why doesn't it cause a question to raise in our minds? And at the very least, are we supposed to assume from this title of this article that the reduction of COVID in India was just accidental and really no one can explain it? But we know for sure that if we don't get the vaccination rate up, then, well, obviously that's going to put all of India's gains against COVID at risk. I mean, there's so... What are we talking about here? And I'm looking at this article, and I'm just like, okay. So I'm thinking, well, I wonder what they're going to say about India's gain against COVID-19 in this Associated Press article. So it starts off, you know, here's the lead. Jamsetpur, India. I don't know if that's correct. In Jamsetpur, a village tucked deep inside India's most populous state of Uttar Pradesh, a common refrain among the villagers is that coronavirus only spreads to cities. The deadly infection, they believe, does not exist in the villages. Okay, well, that's not true. So when a team of health workers recently approached Manju Cole to get vaccinated, she locked up her house, gathered her children, and ran to a nearby forest. Okay, so they're saying the family hid there for hours and returned only when the workers left in the evenings. Oh, well, see, we're supposed to just assume that this is just a terrible thing, that they didn't want to get vaccinated. It's just so terrible. So, okay, so we go on. Cole said, I would rather die than take the vaccine. Okay, so, So apparently is against the vaccine. Now, listen to this paragraph. A deadly surge of coronavirus infections that ripped through India in April and May, killing more than 180,000, has tapered off and new cases have declined. Because it was magic, apparently. It was just magic. But, quoting from the article, the relief could be fleeting as a significant amount of the populace is still reluctant to get the shots. This has alarmed health experts who say that vaccine hesitancy, particularly in India's vast hinterlands, could put the country's fragile gains against COVID-19 at risk. Okay, so they had a surge. Delta variant was ripping them up. This is Delta variant. This is where Delta variant came from, India. Killed more than 180,000 people. And then it tapered off. It just tapered off. It was amazing. But you know, this is a problem because people won't get vaccinated. Why did it taper off? We don't care. We don't want to know. So they talk about, you know, delivering vaccines is going to be really challenging, blah, blah, less than 5%, blah, 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 blah. It's already, you know, blah, 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 blah. Starting Monday, every adult in India will be eligible for a shot paid for by the federal government. The new policy announced last week ends a complex system of buying. Okay, but there's still widespread hesitancy, fueled by misinformation and mistrust, particularly in rural areas. Healthcare workers face stiff resistance, rumors about jabs disrupting the menstruation cycle. Quashing rumors and conspiracy theories is a tough order for many. I'm just reading the first sentence of the articles. Yogesh Kalkunde, a public health doctor in Gadchiroli, a tribal area in western state of, says his victim was overrun with the belief that the vaccine is more dangerous than the virus. Oh, this is terrible. We have to convince people, go door to door, and rely on people who have taken the vaccine to spread the word. Okay, there's some pushback. State governments have mounted aggressive awareness campaigns through posters and radio announcements to allay the anxieties. Some local administrators have started giving rides to vaccine centers. Okay. For months, Vigha Singh, a government-appointed nurse, has gone door-to-door in the villages of Uttar Pradesh. People tell us to leave or they would beat us. Sometimes they throw stones and bricks at us. We need to clearly explain it to people, ideally through trusted local networks. It requires a conversation, not just top-down messaging. Okay? It's the government, it's the responsibility, not only of the government, but of society as a whole, to create an environment in which this unfounded hesitancy is addressed. Okay, so on and on and on. If they are protected, much of India will be protected. So they're talking about Indians who live in the hinterlands. The vulnerability to a sweeping pandemic is much, much more. So vaccinating them quickly is a priority. Okay. Not everyone is convinced. When a team of health workers last week attempted to vaccinate Pana Lal, a resident in Uttar Pradesh, they were met with absolute refusal. Lal even discouraged the rest of his family from getting the jab. The vaccine will not protect me, the 56-year-old told. God has sent me here safely. He will continue to protect me. Okay, so what they completely failed to mention in all of this, completely failed to mention, is the fact that that huge decline, from going from 180,000 deaths down to, well, here's the thing. So I've said this before. That 180,000 deaths, that occurred during a time at the end of April when Uttar Pradesh, at times, was running 34,000 new infections a day on a running 7-day average. 34,000 a day. Within just a couple of weeks, it was running somewhere around 800, 900, 1,000. I mean, you can look up the graph yourself. There's this precipitous decline. The infections fall off a cliff in Uttar Pradesh. And today, in Uttar Pradesh, on July the 21st, at least this is the latest data that I have, July the 21st, 2021. Today, or yesterday, whenever it was, they had 52 cases. And their 7-day average is 60. Yeah, they're in a lot of danger. So, Uttar Pradesh, you should understand, has 205 million people in that province. In a province of 205 million people, now maybe the numbers are low because of the reporting, blah, 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 but the numbers were the numbers at the end of April, and it was 34,000. So that same reporting mechanism is still being used today, and today it's 52. Well, yesterday it's 52. And nobody is curious about this. Nobody cares. It's like, what? You know? So out on the FLCCC's website, there's an article that was published. Let me see if I can find out when this is published. It's on here somewhere. I don't know where it's been published. It's a recent article where the statistician went through and investigated the different places where ivermectin had been distributed. And, I mean, the graphs just go on and on and on and on and on and on. I mean, we're looking at Slovakia, we're looking at Peru, we're looking at Mexico, we're looking at India, we're looking at Argentina, we're looking at Paraguay, we're looking at Brazil, sections of Brazil. So obviously, some of these places, it's not across the entire country. India pretty much did a full rollout, but there were still regions in India that did not do it. And I read about one article where they said that in the regions where they did not do the full rollout of ivermectin, then they were still struggling. But in the regions where they did, and Uttar Pradesh actually combined ivermectin with rapid testing, and they've really been very aggressive with rapid testing. If you test positive for COVID, they give you the ivermectin, they send you home, give it to everybody in your family. And
52.
205 million people populace. But you know, vaccine hesitancy puts them at risk. That's what the Associated Press wants us to believe. And as far as I know, there's been no follow-up article from the Associated Press saying, well, so yeah, something interesting is going on here because they're down to 52. You know, if people weren't dying, if people weren't being put in hospitals on vents, it would be so silly. It would just be absurd and deserving of mockery. But people are dying. And people are sitting in hospitals, not getting any better, like my friend Chris. And it's just an astonishing time to be alive. And I'm really fascinated to see how many more third world countries is it going to take to line up behind all of this. And what I'm really, really hoping is enough word gets out in enough places that when the companies that are doing the vaccines come knocking and are going to charge them a gajillion dollars to do the vaccines, which apparently, even through all of this, India has decided they're going to fund the vaccines, which is fascinating. Just get a vaccine, get a vaccine, get a vaccine. Never mind, 52, Uttar Pradesh. I'm really hoping that these third world countries are going to get to the place where they just laugh at the vaccine manufacturers when they come and try to sell them vaccines. Because, you know, if they would do what Uttar Pradesh did, where, you know, they do rapid testing and ivermectin, they would see those same drops. And, you know, so you can imagine the drug salesman trying to come and saying, you really need this vaccine. And the government going, yeah, last week, the whole week, we only had about 300 people get COVID. I don't really see the point. What's the point? Well, it might come back. Well, you know, if it comes back, we'll talk to you. So, yeah. Amazing. This is so amazing. Just so amazing that we are so completely uninterested. And I gotta tell you, I'm a little bit disappointed that some of the conservative news sites, some of them have been talking about, some of the conservative people I know and podcasters I know definitely have been talking about ivermectin, but I've been really kind of disappointed that some of the larger, more conservative news sites, they just are ignoring it too. So we'll see. We'll see how long it takes before we actually get to the point where they start talking about it. And then we'll see how long it takes, if we ever get there, where the liberal media finally says, wait a minute. I mean, I was actually stunned in the last couple of days because a CNN analyst actually came out and said that Joe Biden's town hall, when he started talking about vaccinating children and that kind of stuff, that he gave misleading information and he was just wrong about the stuff. I've been amazed at the way Rand Paul has been going after Fauci, and that what it really is coming down to is Fauci can say we did not fund gain-of-function research because he has a narrow definition of what gain-of-function research is, that it's specifically done on human viruses. But Fauci's definition is of anything you can take an animal virus and make it more human infectable, and that's gain-of-function research. And there's all this semantics going on. It's, man, there is so much intrigue in all of this. This is like some kind of novel. Anyways. Have a great weekend. I have made it home. God bless us all.